before I start, inshallah, just like everyone, everyone can move left, inshallah, move that way, because people come late, they can't get through, so if everyone decides to move slightly to the left, inshallah, so there's space there for latecomers, and people can get to the back. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم I begin in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. I begin in the name of your Creator and my Creator and the one who created everything. I begin in the name of the Lord of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is the last of the messengers. And I bear witness on this Friday in Ramadan that there is no deity whatsoever worthy of worship except Allah. And that indeed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is last and most noble. I want to begin my khutbah, inshallah, by telling a story at the time of Musa alayhi salam. The story of the Bani Israel. And how Musa alayhi salam was leading his people. They were fleeing from the tyranny of Fir'aun. And Musa alayhi salam was leading the people. His people came under the dead drought. The drought which they had not seen before. Musa alayhi salam, being a prophet of Allah, he raised his hand and goes, Ya Allah, he goes, release my people from this drought, send out the rain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, he goes, no. Amongst those people, amongst the Bani Israel, there's a person who sinned so much that because of him, there's no rain for anyone. And only if he leaves the Jama'at, if he steps aside, then I will give you. But Musa alayhi salam told the Bani Israel, he said to the people, he goes, look, there's one of you who has sinned, and because of your sin, none of us are getting any blessing. So step aside. So you can imagine how this person felt. And in that time, this person who had sinned for 40 years made dua like he never made before. He repented to Allah like he never repented before. The sweat built up on his brow. And he raised his hand and said, Ya Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me for Adam. He knew that if he came forward, what a shame he'd bring to himself. And he raised his hands and he started praying. And his tears had not finished and it started raining. And the rain hit his tears. So Musa alayhi salam, he said to Ya Allah, he goes, look, nobody's come forward. Yet you've given us the rain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is because of his repentance. Because of that one individual's repentance. That I bless all of Bani Israel with water. That I want person to repent. So this is a good story for us to know. The story of repentance and the power of repentance. And the effect it can have on us. Inshallah, this khutbah will be in two parts. The first part of which, I'll go through the need to repent. And why we as Muslims need to make tawbah. And the second part, inshallah, will be about the last 10 nights. And Laylatul Qadr. Repentance is something that is required by all people, regardless of where you come from. Whether you're from the east, the west, north, or the south, whether you're the imam of the masjid, or whether you're a bum on the street, everyone has to make tawbah. Even the anbiya, even the messengers, the prophets of Allah, they used to make tawbah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is free from all sins, the one who guarantees paradise, he used to make tawbah, he used to make istighfar between 70 and 100 times a day. Between 70 and 100 times a day. And us who come nowhere near him, who can't even touch the dust on his sandals, and who are full of sin from head to toe, how many times do we make tawbah? Allah says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَصَبِّرْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Allah says in this last verse, so glorify the praises of your Lord and ask His forgiveness. Verily He is the one who accepts the repentance and who forgives. So Allah tells us in the Quran, it's a very short surah, most people probably know it from the state that's good. So glorify the praise of your Lord and ask His forgiveness. The first thing we as individuals, as Muslims, need to do is acknowledge our sins. And know that as humans, we do sin. Those of us who think we don't sin, then you're in cow cuckoo land, to be honest. Because as individuals, we all sin. You know? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, he goes, were you not to sin? Were you not to sin that Allah would replace you with the people who would sin so that you may ask Allah for His mercy and Allah would forgive you? So we have to accept we sin within a degree. It doesn't mean that we try to sin, but it's a part of us that we have to accept. None of us are perfect. And the difference between the status of people is the level of istighfar. So the people you find, it's not one person better than another person, you find the person who's better is because of his level of tawbah. Because of his level of asking Allah for forgiveness. He stays at night, he stays awake to ask Allah for forgiveness. When he doesn't sin, he says astaghfirullah. He tries to stay away from it. We need to have knowledge of our Creator. This is a very important point. A lot of us think of Allah as somebody who punishes. But there is a beautiful hadith Qudsi, which is the word of Allah that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa said. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he goes, I am as my slave thinks I am. So if we think Allah is Ar-Rahman, if we believe in our hearts that Allah is Ar-Rahman, then Allah will come to us as the merciful. And He will come to us with mercy. If only we turn to Allah. I'll give you another example of somebody that was at the time of the Bani Israel. And Sayyid al-Khudri, he related this hadith that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about somebody who sins. There was a person who killed 99 people. He killed 99 people. Now in Islam, we know that if you kill one person, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he goes, it's as if you kill the whole of humanity if you do it unjustly. And this person, he killed 99 people. Okay, so can everyone just move forward, inshallah? There's no space at the back. Everyone move forward to the left, inshallah, so people can get it. Move to the left. Move to the left and move forward, inshallah. So there's a space for assistance and people coming in, inshallah. Okay. So this person who killed 99 people. And he went to the monastery in his village. He went to the place of worship. And there was a worshipper in there. And he said to the worshipper, he goes, I killed 99 people. Will Allah forgive me? And the worshipper said, no. So he killed him. And that was 100 people he killed. And then he went down and he went and asked an alim. So he killed 100 people and then he went and asked an alim, a person of knowledge. And he said to this, he goes, look, I killed 100 people, will Allah forgive me? And the person of knowledge goes, Allah will. But on the condition that you make sincere tawbah, you ask Allah for forgiveness from what you've done, and then you leave this village. Now there are two lessons here. The first lesson is the difference between a good worshipper and a person of knowledge. It doesn't matter how much a person worships, if he doesn't have knowledge about something, then he will make mistakes. And we should all try and get knowledge from people of knowledge, people who know. And so this person, he left the village to go to the next village. He made his tawbah. And he left the village to go to the next village. But on the way, he died. Before he got to the next village. And the angels of hell and the angels of heaven started arguing. They argued amongst themselves, where should we take him? He didn't reach the next village. Should we take him to the hellfire or should we take him to heaven? And then the body was dying and they were arguing. So they went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, Ya Allah, this is the situation, what should we do? And Allah in His mercy said, He goes, check the distance of the villages. Whichever village he is closer to, he is from that person. So if he is from the village he left, then take him to hell. But if he's closer to the village he was going to, then who's going to make hijrah to? Out of forgiveness for Allah. Then he will go to heaven. And Allah, out of His mercy, He moved that village. He moved the village so it came right next to the person. So he went to heaven. Allah's mercy is infinite. And us as a human cannot comprehend it. Another example of Allah's mercy is the Islam of Musa alayhi salam and is with Fir'aun. If you were to talk about tyrants, if you want to talk about oppressors, then we have many examples today. Many, many examples. But few who can compare to Fir'aun. فرعون بيقول لها فرعون used to say, he goes, I am Allah. He goes, worship me, I am God. Worship me. The way he oppressed the people, the way he killed all the newborn children, the sons. And this person, who did so much oppression and zulm, when he followed Musa al-Islam to the Red Sea, the Red Sea parted and it came together again. There's this story that angel Jibreel told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Fir'aun at that time, he held his head under the water. He held his head under the water, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why? He goes, because at that point, Fir'aun started asking Allah for forgiveness. And I was so afraid of Allah's mercy that I thought Allah would forgive this person, this tyrant, that I didn't know what Allah to forgive him. So if the life of Fir'aun have a chance of Allah's mercy, then why do we not raise our hands? I'll give you another example. At the time of one of the prophets, I think again, sorry, it's Prophet Musa alayhi salam, there's somebody who sinned. And his punishment was that the earth would swallow him. The earth would swallow him whole. And where he's standing, the earth grabbed him and spat him out. And this person turned to Musa and said, please forgive me, please forgive me. And Musa said, no. And Allah said to Musa, if only he had asked me once. If only he had asked me once, I would have forgiven him. And look at the difference between us as humans and how little mercy we have and the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to raise our hands and make sincere repentance to Allah. Because indeed Allah is إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِفَادِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. He's harsh in His punishment and He's soft in His mercy. Only we repent to Allah. Allah says in the Quran, verily Allah loves those who repent and those who purify themselves. Those who repent and those who purify themselves. All you who believe, turn to Allah in sincere repentance. Turn to Allah in sincere repentance. Allah knows us. Allah created us. Allah knows what we are like. Allah knows we will sin. Allah says, just turn to me in sincere repentance. Raise your hand. O slave of mine, raise your hand and ask for my forgiveness, and I will give it to you. Allah says, say, O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves because of sin, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all sins. Verily all forgiving, most merciful. So those of us who become upset, and we know we sin, and we get that feeling of guilt, and we sin by ourselves, or someone remembers Allah, and you think, I sin so much, there's no hope for me. But Allah tells us again, he goes, do not despair. Do not despair. Allah forgives all sins. Verily all forgiving, most merciful. So Allah tells us again. And Allah will forgive every sin apart from shirk. Because the foundation of this deen is tawheed and is the belief in oneness of Allah. And anyone who understands this will never even dare contemplate placing anything alongside Allah in terms of worship. Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. And there's another hadith Qudsi, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. And he said, there's a slave of Allah, there's a person who sins from night and day, and so much so that his sins reach from the earth to the sky. Imagine this person. So many sins. Day after day, night after night, he sins. And his sins reach from the earth to the sky. You can't even see the top of the sky. And that's how much his sins reach. And this person, out of sincerity, he raises his hand to Allah. And he said, Allah, forgive me. And Allah forgave all his sins. Imagine those things. Allah forgave all his sins. And then this person came again. And he sinned again. He sinned again and again and again. But then, he asked Allah for mercy again, and he asked Allah for forgiveness. And that Allah, one of Allah's names, At-Tawwab, the oft-returning, right, the one who accepts repentance. And this time when this person sins again, he asked Allah for forgiveness, and the angel turned and said, they go, ya Allah, will you forgive that person? Will you forgive that person who has sinned again? And Allah, what did Allah reply? What did Allah reply out of His mercy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he goes, I have forgiven his past sins and these sins and any sins he will commit in the future. Because he knows he has someone to turn to. This slave of mine, he knows he has someone who will forgive him. Do we know Allah? How much of us really take the time out to contemplate and think about Allah? And think about Allah's infinity, Allah's greatness. We always say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We love to quote it to people. It's come a religion of mercy and peace. We love to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the beginning of every surah. But do we understand this attribute of Allah, Ar-Rahman, the merciful, the mercy, the like of which none of us could comprehend, the like of which none of us could have in our souls and in our hearts for another person? And Allah told us about His mercy, how He's given one part of His mercy on this earth. The mercy a mother has for its child. Everyone think who loves you the most. Who hurts when you hurt? Who cries when you cry? Who picks you up in the middle of the night when you're crying? Who stops you from falling over? It's your mother. Anywhere in the animal kingdom. Whether it be the lioness, who has the sharpest teeth to attack the enemies, but they're so soft when she picks up her cub by the scruff of her neck. And Allah tells us, that mercy is one part of His mercy. And Allah has the other 99 parts that He has for us. So we think our mothers love us. We think they're kind to us. Then Allah has 99 times more than that. As He's told us. So why do we resist? Why do we not turn to Allah in repentance? But I'd like to make this point quite clear. This isn't a green light for people to sin and then ask Allah for forgiveness. And a lot of people have this attitude, but it's only a small sin. You know, I don't do any of the kabbalah, the major sins. I don't drink, I don't gamble, I don't fornicate, I don't do this, I don't do that. A little sin here and there doesn't make no difference. You know, verily Allah does forgive, but we should try hard as well. And the analogy of the small sins are like small twigs. When you go and gather small twigs and you build a fire, and as that fire rages, every small twig plays its part in that fire. Likewise, every small thing we do plays a part in our lives. We think one small thing is isolated, it's not. When we make allowances, I swear I'll do this, then these things accumulate and accumulate, and before we know it, our hearts become black. And those small things become big sins. How many people do we know that their sins started small? Oh, but I only do this. And from this he led to this, and this to this, and this to this, until this person's forgotten to pray. He doesn't pray no more. But before I take the half time break, inshallah, I just want to say there's certain conditions to asking Allah for forgiveness and making sincere repentance. There's certain conditions, inshallah, that everyone should try to fulfill. The first is that they desist from the sin. They desist from the sin, inshallah. It's obvious, inshallah, that, you know, we keep on asking for Allah for forgiveness, or we carry on doing the sin, you know, it's not a joke. You have to stop. If you're sincere, you will try to stop what you're doing. And you ask Allah for strength to help you stop what you're doing. That you sincerely regret what happened. You sincerely regret what happened. Some people raise hands to Allah, forgive me, but you know, they don't really care. Hate, detest that sin that you did. Hate it so you hate yourself and ask Allah for forgiveness. Be determined never to return to that thing. Vow to yourself, Allah, I will never go back to that thing. I made a mistake, Allah, but you will forgive me, I don't want to go back to that thing. If one of these three are missing, then your tawbah is deficient. So these are three conditions. Three conditions that we should try to adhere to. And the last one is, if you did a sin against a person, that you return that right to that person. I.e., if you stole some money from someone. For example, if I stole £100 from one of the brothers here, then as part of a condition of my repentance is that I give him back his £100. And the surah says, if you cannot find that person, then give the money to charity and don't expect any reward for it. So these are certain conditions, inshallah, that we should try to fulfill if we're sincere about making tawbah. And inshallah, we will all make tawbah because it's a need for us. It is a need for us. If we want to be Muslim, if we want to be good Muslims, and we want to differentiate between the ranks, that's the level of our tawbah. Even walking down the street, we say, astaghfirullah.
الله. إيه في التوبة؟ Sorry, I went a bit over in the first half of my khutbah, inshallah. I tried to make the second one a bit shorter. As you all know, alhamdulillah, all we should know, inshallah, is we're in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And Ramadan has come and gone in the blinking of an eye. And we have to ask ourselves, we've heard, you know, from the previous khutbah, the benefits of Ramadan. And how much, we should ask ourselves how much we've changed. I mean, there's some of us who haven't made any changes yet. You know, we're in the last part of the race. And we can still win it, inshallah, if we kick in now. This is the last 10 nights. This is the time to increase your tawbah and increase your worship. Allah says in the Quran, verily we set it down in the night of Al-Qadr. The night of Al-Qadr is better than 1,000 months. And he's talking about the Quran. This one night, the Laylatul Qadr. And the strength of opinion is that it's on the 27th night, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, search for it in the odd nights amongst the last 10 nights. And he said it's better than 1,000 months. It's one night of worship. It's better than 1,000 months. 1,000 months is 83 years. How many of us will see 83 years? I don't know if anyone here is who's 83. But imagine worshipping day in, day out, night, day after day for 83 years. We find it a burden. But Allah has blessed us again. Allah has blessed us again with this one night. One night which is equivalent to 1,000 months. Are we not losers if we do not stay up and pray and ask Allah for forgiveness and worship Allah on this night? If I was to say to any person in this room, if you give me £1, I'll give you, what, how many does that work out to? £30,000. If you give me £1, I'll give you £30,000. Who would refuse? Nobody would refuse. So likewise, we have one night, and it's equivalent to 30,000 nights, inshaAllah, for us to make worship. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he goes, the month of Ramadan has come, a blessed month which Allah has made it obligatory for you to fast. In it, the gates of paradise are open, and the gates of hell are closed, and the devils are chained. In it is a night better than 1,000 months. Whoever loses the benefit of it has lost something irreplaceable. Whoever loses the benefit of it has lost something irreplaceable. You never know if we'll be alive to see the next Ramadan. We don't know this. The Sahaba used to worship to Allah and praise Allah that Ramadan comes quickly. And then the rest of the year they worship to Allah and thank Allah and hope Allah will accept that their Ramadan has gone. We don't know. I've said before, nothing is certain in life except death. You can't guarantee anything about anyone here. You can't guarantee anything. What jobs we'll have, how many children we'll have, who we'll marry, we can't guarantee anything. The only thing we can guarantee is death. And I say this to every single person here. Every single person on this earth, every single thing will go. So we have these nights left. Make some effort, inshallah. Like I said before, if Ramadan hasn't gone your way so far, if you haven't increased in worship, this is the time, all is not lost. There are certain things, inshallah, that we should try to do during this period to gain Allah's pleasure. One of them is praying Qiyam, the night prayer. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he goes, whoever stands in Qiyam, in Laylatul Qadr, out of faith and expectation of Allah's reward, will have all of his previous sins forgiven. So, drawing back on the first part of the khutbah, and how we sin and how we repent and how we need to turn to Allah, Allah has given us a method straight away. Whoever stands on this night and he prays out of hope, out of hope for Allah's mercy, then all his previous sins will be forgiven. Now think about all the sins we've done as individuals. All the sins we've done. I think that we can start with a fresh slate. A new beginning. You know? Zero. Nothing, inshaAllah. Only our good deeds. If it's not surely something for us to contemplate, and for something for us to strive for. Something else we should try to do is make supplication. Allah loves the person who makes dua. Allah's not like humans where somebody keeps asking you like, get away from me, you know? You get fed up. Someone keeps on asking you for something, you say, yeah, we smile, we're happy, but after all we get fed up. Why do they keep on asking me? Allah is not like this. Allah loves it when we ask Him. Allah tells us to ask me, why do you ask such and such? Why do you ask these people like they can do anything for you? Ask me. Allah wants us to ask Him. So make dua. And there's a hadith that Aisha radiallahu anha related that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, he goes, from this night you should say, Allahumma innaka afwan tuhibbul afwa anni. We've got it inshallah in some newsletters about the last night that everyone can pick up. And the meaning of this small dua is, oh Allah, you are forgiving and you love forgiveness. So forgive me. How small a hadith, how small a dua, sorry. Oh Allah, you are forgiving and you love forgiveness, so forgive me. What great way of thinking about Allah. Prophet Muhammad SAW told us, Allah loves forgiveness, so forgive us. I'd like to finish this khutbah inshallah, there's a bit more but I'll finish it here inshallah, about taking our opportunities when they come. And the Laylatul Qadr is an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity that we should try not to miss. Now I'll talk about an incident at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how the Sahaba used to seize every opportunity. And the situation was this, that there was a companion who had a garden, a beautiful garden. And an orphan boy came to him and he says, oh, my garden, in your garden there's a palm tree that's mine. He said, in your garden there's a palm tree that belongs to me. And the Sahaba said, no. He goes, no, it isn't. You know, it's mine. What are you talking about? You know? So this orphan boy, this small child, he went and complained to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went and complained, he goes, Ya Rasulullah, goes, look, this companion, he's got my palm tree. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went and he measured. He measured the garden. And he realized the palm tree, in fact, did not belong to the orphan. It belonged to the companion. So this small orphan boy started crying. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa couldn't take it. So he said to his companion, he goes, look, just give it to him inshallah. He goes, would you give him the palm tree? And to you is a palm tree in Jannah. But the Sahaba, out of his shock, that a small boy can go and complain about him to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he missed his opportunity, he went away. He was angry, he was upset at the boy and he went away. But someone else saw the opportunity. Abu Da'da radiallahu anhu. And he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, he goes, Ya Rasulullah, if I buy the tree from him and give it to the orphan, shall I have that tree in Jannah? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, yes. Abu Da'da chased after that companion. He just witnessed all this, he chased the companion. And he goes, would you sell that tree to me for my entire garden? So for one tree, you'll give him an entire garden. And the companion answered, take it, for there is no good in a tree that I would complain to the Prophet ﷺ about. So immediately, Abu Da'da went home and he found his wife and children playing in the garden. Leave the garden, shouted Abu Da'da. We've sold it to Allah. We've sold it to Allah. Some of his children had dates in their hand and he smacked it out of their hand. And he threw them back in the garden and he said, we've sold it to Allah. When Abu Da'da was later martyred in the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he goes, he stood over his slain body and remarked, how many shady palm trees did Abu Da'da now have in paradise? So there's an opportunity he saw, a way of pleasing Allah. He didn't wait. He went out and bought that tree for that child. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yeah, you will have a tree in paradise for it. So now we have an opportunity. Every single one of us in this room, we have an opportunity coming before us. This life of Laylatul Qadr. And when we take the opportunity, we miss out like the other companion who walked away. Let's make dua, inshallah. May Allah give us the strength to be good Muslims. May Allah forgive us for our sins that we do knowingly and unknowingly. May Allah forgive us for the sins that we've done, and the sins we do, and the things we will do, inshallah. May Allah bless us with Laylatul Qadr and may Allah forgive us for our sins that night. And this, in this month, inshallah, may Allah bless all those people who are fasting around the world who have no iftar, who have nothing to help them. May Allah shower all of us with His mercy. May Allah make us good Muslims who are straight up on this path. And may Allah make us return to the way He wants us to worship Him.